I find nothing wrong with B films if they're entertaining.
Oh, I love a lot of B films. They're fabulous. I'm looking here at Barbara. Nothing's wrong with Barbara except she's got a loose leaf book for a heart. That girl needs to have her head examined.
Yeah, someone wrote that or gave that interview to someone right after
Walter
the fight.
Walter Winchell, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Although Walter Winchell himself evidently, he supposedly liked Barbara and he helped her out financially many times. He gave her, you know, a lot of money and tried to help her.
Huh. Yeah, I'm looking at these pics. These are great. I'm right now on the Barbara going to see Francho, and she has these big, like, thermoses of martinis to bring to Francho.
Right, right.
And she's wearing...
That was her Florence Nightingale bit, right?
Yeah.
That and was then, her version of Florence Nightingale.
Jeez, and then they have the pre-wedding, and he just was something else. And I'm looking at her with her son, who is adorable. And she had a black eye from that, huh? She got in the middle, and somebody slugged her in the eye.
Yeah, Tom Neal's elbow hit her in the eye. And she went flying into a rhododendron, and I guess she was knocked unconscious and... Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to picture that whole thing in my mind, and it must have been totally off the wall, over the top, like everything else in her life.
Listen to this. This is what you wrote. Francho Tone has always reminded me of Prince Charles in a way. I find both to be totally lacking in warmth when out of their element. That being said, I have very few memories of Francho. In fact, I remember his two sons, Patrick and Thomas, much more clearly than I remember him. For a time, the three of us boys often played together in the hills near our respective homes, and we got along great.
Right. Yes.
So he sent that to you in 2008.
John Lee Payton sent me that. Yes, that's right.
What ended their marriage? What was the final straw that ended the marriage of Francho and Barbara?
She attempted suicide. Go back a little. Francho and Barbara were staying at a hotel in New York City. This was after the brawl, and they were married. And he evidently found her on the phone one night talking to Tom Neal. And he reacted very badly to it. And they had a rip-roaring argument, and Barbara supposedly swallowed a handful of Seconal and went to the bathroom, locked herself in the bathroom, and he had to break down the door. And so she tried to kill herself because she was so upset, and evidently that was the last straw. I guess he figured he didn't want to go through these dramatic events with her anymore.
And her being in touch with the guy who rearranged his face. Yeah.
Right. So that was it. And his biographer, Lisa Burks, told me that she believes once they split up, Francho never looked back.
I believe that. I believe that. Yeah. Because it was pretty horrifying. I'm looking at these pictures. Lady Swashbucklers. It's here. January. And Barbara and Francho divorce.
Right.
And it has them. It has Francho and Barbara. How tall was Barbara? She doesn't seem like she was very tall.
No, 5'4".
And that's what I thought.
Yep.
They say the biggest and most shocking of all current Hollywood gab concerns a set of photos of Barbara Payton and Tom Neal supposedly posed for recently. We haven't seen them, but copies are said to be available soon by the hundreds. Disgusting. But everybody in town is talking of little else. And also, so she then, after Hollywood kind of said sayonara, she went to England and did a couple of films.
Right. Yeah, she did two films in England in late 1952. Well, from July 52 to December, she was in England filming. Tom Neal followed her.
Yeah, I'm looking at the pictures here now, and then there's a picture of Tom posed with Susan Hines. This little girl.
I like that photo.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a nice photo.
He's not very tall, huh? He was short as well. Yeah, he was like probably 5'6" or something.
Right.
Oh, they have her. See the bad blonde. She's real. She's live. She's dangerous. This is bad blonde. They called me bad, spelled M-E-N. Barbara Payton. Bad blonde.
Well, they were trading on her reputation.
Yeah.
You know, that was the reputation she had. And a lot of people probably thought that was who she really was. But, you know, Barbara was a lot more than that. And I've never considered her to be a bad person.
No, I just think she was a very...
misguided.
Very misguided. And, geez. Ill. Oh. And there it is, yeah. My heart is filled with Pluto. No, Barbara and Tom didn't know it. I love these pictures. These are so great, you guys.
Thank you.
And like I said, they're not just photos.
The book was printed in China.
Really? They did a fabulous job. And all these great pictures. And how John has it is, it's all, you know, really kind of, you know, it's all in order. Of her life and her movies that she did. Wow, all the shoes she had. Imelda Marcos, watch out, right? Oh, yeah. My God. I
know.
She loved her shoes, didn't she?
She was very extravagant, and she spent her money lavishly. And when she rented a beautiful house in Beverly Hills, she had weekly open house parties, gatherings at her house, and she was said to have spent a mint on these parties. She had fresh lobster flown in from Maine.
But where'd she have the money, John? Because she really wasn't making big time moolah.
Well, I think by then Barbara was probably, like a professional date for industry executives. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Because by the mid-50s, she was no longer acting.
I'm just looking at this. You've got this picture of Tom. I can see he sort of has camel toe Mary hanging there. And this is what her son said. Tom just looks gross to me, I'm afraid. And you know, I still like him as he always treated me well. But there is always something desperate about that beefcake photo of him in the boxing shorts. When I knew him, he never came across as desperate. And then they did Postman Always Rings Twice.
Right. Yeah.
And
in 1953, they did a summer stock tour of The Postman Always Rings Twice. I think it was a 4-month run.
But they fought.
They fought a lot, yeah. Barbara was drinking a lot, more than ever, I guess, by then.
Yeah, you could see in her face that she's a little bloated.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
And she was only 25 there.
25?
Right.
Well, yeah, oh my. And there she is with Tom. And they broke up pretty much after this, right?
That's right. In 1953, they broke up. I guess he got tired of her her behavior.
Huh.
And they fought a lot. So I'm sure the relationship just burned out.
Yeah, because it was such a hot, flamey kind of thing. You know, she was like totally entranced by him. And you see this, and you see these pictures of Barbara. You got to see these pictures. These are great, you guys. I'm looking at them right now. And
thank you.
I just love it. And you can get all
the scoops. I looked high and low for the photos.
You did a wonderful job. And I know you weren't ready to give it up yet because you didn't think it was ready. And I'm so glad you released it because it is wonderful.
I kept finding mistakes, and I wasn't going to put it out there if I didn't find every mistake I made.
Right.
And every time I thought that I found them all, I would find more. And I was getting really frustrated.
I don't blame you. This is something. Do you know who Scotty Bowers? Yeah, you obviously do because you wrote about him.
Yeah, he's a survivor. Boy, he's still around.
Yes, they have a documentary on him. I'd love to have him as a guest. He would be something else.
Oh,
and then he wrote a book, Full Service, which I read years ago. And
I read it. I read it too.
Juicy. Who knows if it's true, but his quote on Barbara. Barbara was electrifyingly sexy and made a man feel totally and wholly satisfied. He wrote that in his book.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Yeah, he liked Barbara. They were intimate friends.
Mm. Yes.
But he also saw her a few years later when she had hit hard times and she was living on the street. And he, you know, those memories for him were very disturbing.
Well, you see this beautiful woman, and she's not old, and she's looking so old and having no teeth and being drunk. And, you know, Barbara's arrested for passing bad checks, and Barbara loses custody of her son. And she looks very, I don't know, it's just all sad to me. And her mother, Mabel, that's Barbara.
Yeah. That's right.
Here it is, the nice thing Barbara did. Barbara opened the pool house behind her home to anyone who needed it. She charged the minimal rent, and I remember a whole parade of people streaming through that apartment. I recall a newly married couple briefly living there, as well as a few struggling young actors and a beatnik time sculpture who I found to be extremely strange. If rarely, he rarely, if ever, spoke to anyone, but Barbara liked him and helped promote his artwork too.
I know. It's like, wow. What a, can you just imagine what that environment was like?
No. I can't.
It was just off the wall. I mean, talk about an open door policy.
Yeah. I mean, that. Geez, that's very kind.
I think. That place, her home, was probably just, it was hopping morning, noon, and night. I think it was just parties and people always around. And, of course, little John Payton was there to witness it all.
Poor baby.
Yeah. And he said he did see some pretty memorable things.
I can only imagine. Here's what somebody says.
Exposed to a lot.
Marlon Brando's friend and gopher, Carlo Fiore, a one-time tenant of Barbara's Beverly Hill house. This is from Kiss to Argoby. There was something off-center about Barbara. Not sexually, but in some strange fashion, she seemed to drive men insane. Maybe they just couldn't understand or keep up with her mostly compulsive behavior.
Right. That's right. I think she drove people nuts because they never knew what she was going to do next. You know, especially with the men in her life.
Do you think she really even liked men? Not that she liked women, but, you know, was she really doing it because she was compelled to have sex with these guys? She was hot for them, or was just something like was a function for her?
I mean, I just think she had a totally messed up concept of love, and she was just damaged goods.
She sure was. So this is it.
Extremely damaged.
In 1957, Barbara hawked some expensive bar stools, and she ended up going to Chicago with Lila Leeds, who was a woman who was found smoking marijuana with Robert Mitchum. And of course he was fine and dandy, but Lila Leeds was a big fat slut, and that was it. You know, there was,
the
it's just
standard.
Yeah, she was like driven standard, out of town.
Exactly, literally. Yes, she was.
And
she exiled from California for a few years.
And she was dates for hire in Chicago, and also Barbara worked there for a while to make some money.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it was a call girl service. And Lila was arrested for it, but Barbara had already left by then and was back in California, so she wasn't picked up along with Lila, who went to jail.
And this is interesting. Unlike Barbara, Lila Leeds eventually sought help and turned her life around. In the 1970s, she worked as an ordained minister, helping drug users and the homeless in Hollywood Skid Row. That was nice. Good for her.
Yeah. You have to give her a lot of credit for that. Now, Grace, if you notice chapter 29, that's one of my favorite chapters in
this
the book.
I'm right at chapter 29 right now.
It has to do with a lot of people Barbara knew back then. And I like it because it gives her story context. So it shows she did know a lot of important people in Hollywood.
She did. Tough guy actor George Raft dated Barbara in Hollywood in 1948. Raff showered Barbara with diamonds, red roses, fur coats, and champagne. And John Ireland escorted Barbara. Supposedly, she was also seeing Howard Hughes and several other men at the same time. Now, who didn't Howard Hughes see? My God, what a weirdo. Yeah.
He had loads of girlfriends all over Hollywood, just like Bob Hope.
Yeah, he was gross. I'm sorry. I just never liked Bob Hope. Barbara was often seen partying and drinking up a storm at the Mulholland Drive home of film star and legendary rake, Errol Flynn. So she was there, and he had his house all rigged for voyeurism. You know, he had that.
Yeah, I read that.
People could look in, double mirror. Yes.
Yeah, wow.
These are some of her girlfriends. Marie Langell, a nightclub dancer, Vicki Evans, who was also busted with Robert Mitchum, Lila Leeds, and Robin Ford, were said to be Hollywood allies of Barbara.
Right.
She went with a lot of these people. Barbara, I love this picture of Lloyd Bridges in his, like, pirate hat. like a boat hand, shiver me timbers. Right? And so he allegedly dallied with Barbara in the filming of the 1949 picture Trapped. Although married to his wife Dorothy 60 years, Bridges was said to sometimes stray from their marital bed. I think it was like Robert Mitchum. I think he strayed a lot and went home to mama, you know? This is a quote from Barbara in her book, I Am Not Ashamed. I met the biggest, Clark Gable, Cary Grant, Irene Dunn, Elsa Lanchester, Charles Laughton, John Wayne, Lana Turner, everyone. My name was in the papers every day. I read the motion picture sections of every newspaper and threw the rest of it away. I read The Hollywood Reporter and Variety every day. They were my Bible.
Right. Yeah, she got swept up in it. She was intoxicated by all that.
Yes, and this is funny. Entertainment lawyer Greg Boutzer and his girlfriend Joan Crawford both had definite opinions of Barbara. While Boutzer reportedly raved about Barbara's sexual prowess, it was said Crawford once warned her ex-husband, Francho Tone, if I were you, mister, I'd leave that cheap little chippy alone. She has the morals of a common tart.
That was told to me by Bill Ramage, who was a friend of an acquaintance of Barbara's. He said that was a known quote of Joan Crawford's. I could see her saying it.
I can, too, easily. And she didn't like any of the women that Francho married, and I don't think any of them were appropriate from him, but he loved him some young blondes.
He loved blondes, right?
He did. And it says here in this chapter that Luella Parsons and Hedda Hopper loathed her.
Right. Aren't those pictures pretty good?
These are fabulous.
The one of Hedda Hopper is a hoot. She's got a typewriter on her head.
I know, it's so stupid. And here it has, Warner Brothers' leading lady, Ruth Roman, the female star of Dallas, reportedly disliked Barbara intensely and was said to be one of the few actresses Barbara herself despised.
Yep, that's right.
And also in this, it says that allegedly Barbara had a short affair with Gary Cooper. I wouldn't be shocked.
Right. Yeah, that supposedly took place during the filming of Dallas, the film they did together.
Yeah. And here it says, Virginia Mayo was said to have compassion for Barbara. I felt bad for Barbara. You always heard whispers about her around the studio. Barbara wasn't untalented. It's just her private life did her in.
Yeah, that's pretty astute. I agree.
Yes, I do.
She definitely was not untalented. She was a good actress.
She was. I mean, if you only like, I will have to see the movie with James Cagney. I've not seen it, but I have to say that she did a damn good job in that silly film with the gorilla. And yeah, she also was really kind because she wanted Raymond Burr and they thought he was too fat.
That's right.
And he went on a diet. Skip Eadlow befriended Barbara during some of her darkest days on the streets of Hollywood. He was very famous. He was a child star, right?
Well, no, he wasn't a child star, but he was a bit part player in a few films when he was a child. But then he later became an MC at a strip joint in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And then in the 90s and 2000s, he had his own cable TV show in Los Angeles. And you should look up those shows on YouTube because he interviewed a lot of actors and singers, and he interviewed a lot of famous people. And the interviews are quite good.
Yeah, I'll check YouTube. It out. I will.
Yeah.
Oh, it says, Dennis Hopper claimed to have a sexual encounter with Barbara. It happened in a back booth at a bar on Hill Street in 1963.
Yeah. Right. That's
sad. Here we get pictures of John Payton. And when he was given custody to his father, wasn't it that his stepmother didn't want him, so he ended up not even being raised by his father, but by this woman, Dorothy Zollinger?
Yes. Well, Dorothy Zollinger babysat for him a lot when he was a child. And Dorothy Zollinger was Jan Redfield's mother. If you remember, Jan Redfield was Barbara's sister-in-law.
Yes.
And best friend.
Right.
The Zollingers were very instrumental in helping raise John Lee, especially when Barbara, let's say she went off the rails or hit some hard times, they would take over. But yet he did admit that his stepmother, whose name was also Barbara, John Payton's second wife, he always felt she didn't care for him, so they weren't close. And he said she was definitely not his mom.
Right.
So, yeah, Dorothy Zollinger played a big part in helping to raise John Lee.
Here it says here, Guy Madison knew he shouldn't have been with Barbara Payton wearing only socks when Franco Tone walked in.
Yeah.
Well, he should. If he's having sex, I hate to tell you, take off your socks. That's pretty gross, right? It's like, take off your socks, peeps.
Especially if they were black. Because that's pretty ugly.
Really ugly. Tony and Barbara aborted comeback in 58. And she made this big thing about saying she's coming back, and nobody gave a crap.
No. And no. She burned all her bridges by then.
And then in chapter 32, Tom Neal's arrest for murder and Franco dies at 63. I didn't know that she attended Tom Neal's trial. Green capris, sandals, a large white poncho. She asked the bailiff if she could speak to Neal, but was not permitted to do so. You guys, the picture of Tom Neal, you would never ever know it was him. Barbara was absolutely a borderline sociopath. She was a manipulator and an operator from the very beginning. Tom Neal, I'm afraid, was a 14-carat psychotic. When linked with Barbara, they were like a highballing runaway train. That's from John Gilmore.
Well, that was his opinion.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this.
That was that one man's opinion. I don't concur with that, but
yes,
I want to include different opinions of her.
Of course. And this is here, and this is from Barbara's memoir. You know, I'm very sensitive. I love everybody, and I feel sorry for everybody, too. I still have a sad fondness for Tom. I hope he does me.
See, Grace, I found that one quote to be very endearing.
It was.
I remember reading that quote years ago when I first read her autobiography, and I thought to myself, wow, she wasn't a bad person.
She was a messed up person, a big time messed up person. So here we're here at chapter 33, Barbara's final last years. And it says, Barbara briefly worked at a call girl at the Palm Springs Riviera Hotel.
Right.
Eek, not nice places. Oh, boy, there's something. Sometimes a person is down so low and for so long, they forget how to help themselves. I know that's what happened to Barbara.
Right. Barbara's sister-in-law gave me that quote.
Boy, she looked, and Barbara lived in all these horrible places. She lived with a grizzled door-to-door diaper salesman.
Right. In fact, she was married to him while she was married to another man. Oh, so Lord. He was a bigamist.
Oh, here I'm at this horrible, horrible, the ones where she took pictures when she's in her bra and bloated and awful. Los Angeles photography shot several startling photos of Barbara, for which she appeared so completely out of it for a paperback. I'm not ashamed.
Really?
Oh, horrible.
Yeah, very demeaning. It's a shame that she posed for those photos.
She did, but he gave her money probably, or booze or something, right? I can't imagine she made a lot of dough.
She was paid either $1,000 or $2,000 for the paperback, but it all disappeared.
I'm sure very quickly.
Yeah.
This is what Scotty Bauer said. It had gotten to the point where Barbara would lay you for a bottle of beer. She really hit rock bottom. That's for sure.
That is pitiful. I wouldn't want to see anyone.
No. No. And then she wrote a thing that she only black men would date her because now white guys weren't attracted to her. She wrote that. And then, John, right. I want to get to the point where what finally makes her go to her parents' house?
Well, Grace, in February 1967, Barbara was found passed out beneath a dumpster in Hollywood.
Ugh.
And she was filthy. Her stomach was distended. And she was brought to the hospital, and she was severely ill. So a social worker brought her to her parents' home in San Diego. The only problem there is her parents were both hardened alcoholics as well. And so the three of them proceeded to drink together.
How creepy. And how long was she there before she died?
About a month or two. But a few weeks before her passing, she was involved in a car accident where she hit the steering wheel. Actually, she and her mother were driving to the liquor store.
Was she driving or mom?
Barbara was driving, and she hit a parked car because I guess she was already drunk.
Yeah.
And she hit the steering wheel pretty hard, and evidently she didn't seek medical treatment for it. And from there, her health just quickly deteriorated.
And this is interesting what her sister-in-law wrote. On the last night of her life, Barbara said to me, Janice, why wasn't it ever enough for me? And how come after I lost it all, it didn't make everything better? Was my having too much to discern worse for me than if I had never accomplished anything at all? When I hugged her goodnight, it was like hugging a stone. There was no feeling there. Looking back now, I believe she knew. Barbara knew she was leaving.
Right. That's what Jan told me.
Yeah. And when they found her, Barbara was 39 years old, but they thought that she was 60, correct, because of the condition she was in.
Well, actually, one of the police officers thought she was 70.
Wow.
She was close to 70.
Yikes.
Yeah. And in fact, one of her parents' former neighbors in San Diego said when she saw Barbara toward the end of her life, she thought she was Mabel's sister.
Wow.
She was her mother's sister.
How sad.
Yeah.
I'm reading this all, and you guys will love this book if you're interested in Barbara. And John, like I said, it's not just photos. he goes, you know, chapter to chapter through her life history and gives us a lot more information. And one thing I want to ask you, John, you know, you sure. you did the book in 2006, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it took me 10 years to write the first book.
It's an amazing book. And in all this time, in the period now from you writing that book to doing the picture book, did you learn anything new about Barbara? Anything or find something, you felt something different about Barbara or anything like that between the books?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. A few people have come forward that knew her, mm-hmm. who knew her, and they told me that they all related positive memories of her. So I think what I've learned is she really was a decent person. Intrinsically, she was a decent human being.
Right.
And that's what makes her story even more bittersweet to me and sadder.
It is.
She had a lot to offer the world, and she could have done a lot more with her life. She could have been happy. You know, she could have had lasting happiness.
Maybe not, though. Maybe it was just her destiny because of the alcoholism in her family and all that other stuff.
Right.
You know?
And I'm not sure how much help she sought out. I that's kind of questionable. I'm not sure if she ever really did seek serious help.
I don't think she really thought she needed it. And when friends tried to pick her up and take her somewhere, she would just leave. She'd go back to the sleazy joints.
That's right.
Okay, so I'm telling you guys, this is a great book. Like I said, you can lift weights with it. It's a doorstop. And you can find out there are beautiful photos. And John writes loads of stuff. You see her, you know, from her childhood to her marriage, having the baby, being a model, going into Hollywood, and finally her demise. And I want to ask you, what's going on with the movie? What's happening there? Any scoops?
It's like I told you, this is the fourth option I've had on Barbara's film project.
Right.
So from what I hear, the screenwriter is currently writing the script, and they don't keep me in the loop all that often, but
right.
That's the last thing I heard. And I'm just hoping that this time something will come of it, because like I said, this is my fourth option. And
does that mean that you can't do another option? Because tell everybody, you heard from Simon Cowell's brother who was interested.
Yeah. Over in England.
If someone could get it done, he's got the money and the backing with his brother, you know?
Right.
So
right.
When I heard that, I was like, yay, John, you know?
Well, he was actually pursuing a documentary project. Because once I told him that I've already signed with this other producer to develop a feature film project on the story, he said, well, maybe I might want to pursue a documentary approach. But he's another one I haven't heard from in several months, so I don't know where that's at right now.
Right. Well, all I'm hoping is, because you know, I read this when I read the book, like I said, I didn't know who she was, but I'm reading it, I'm going, this has to be a movie. This is an amazing story and compelling and, you know, just fabulous. And you did such a great job with your book. Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye, and your Barbara Payton, A Life in Pictures. You guys, these are great photos. And John, you know, gives us information with the photos. It's just not pictures. And it is a wonderful book. And I love John. I'm so grateful.
I love you too.
We became
you're a good friend to me.
Yes,
you're
we became really wonderful friends from him being on the show. And I just want wonderful things for you. And I hope that this finally gets to be a movie. It will be fabulous. It would be so great.
I want the same for you, Grace. And can I say, I just want Barbara's story, hopefully, to open people's hearts and minds to people like Barbara. Because they're not, you know, these are not bad people.
They're not monsters.
They're not monsters. They're people.
They're damaged beyond words.
Yes.
You know, they're so, so damaged.
And
it's a tragedy.
It is. And if you don't have empathy, I pity you, really, because I just can't imagine not having empathy for people. But I'll tell you, with my brother being a drug addict and all that stuff, a lot of people just gave up on him and had not one ounce of empathy for him or gave one crap about him.
That's sickening. That's sickening.
And family members, you know, so it just made me ill. So no, I see it. If you know somebody like this, and there are so many people like this, you know, you realize that these people don't, this is not something you choose. It happens. Mm. It just happens.
That's right. And a lot of times it happens and the person is so enmeshed in it, they can't find a way out. They can't even comprehend that there is a way out.
Yes, exactly. Because
I
it
know
just,
that's what happens to people.
Yes. And they
people go into it so deeply, they just can't see past. They can't see past today,
right,
much less tomorrow.
Yes. And it's very sad. And I think her story is tragic, yet, of course, fascinating. Fascinating.
Thank you. I find it fascinating. I found her story fascinating for many years now.
Yeah, well, I have since I read your book. And I just, like I said, you know, this has to be a movie. I mean, I can't imagine someone not wanting to make this movie and getting it going. So my fingers crossed are for that, that this year brings that for you, John. And
thank you,
I hope this book is successful for you. It's wonderful. And
thank you for everything you do for Barbara and me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, I love you.
I love you too.
You're a sweetie. John is a darling and a sensitive, kind person. He's my kind of guy. So I want to thank you, John, for being on True Stories of Tinseltown. And
it was fun. It was a lot of fun for me.
It was great for me, you know, and you're my first guest of the new season. How wonderful is that?
Well, I'm honored. Thank you.
Yes. And it was, you know, thank you for your great books and your knowledge and your kindness. And I'm so happy we became friends.
Well, me too, Grace. Thanks.
So thanks, everybody. The book is, his first one is Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye. And the other, his newest, Barbara Payton, A Life in Pictures. And it's fabulous.
They're both on Amazon, Grace.
They are.
Both on Amazon.
Yes, yeah. And I have to write a review. I got it from Amazon. So I want to write a review for you because it's fabulous.
Thank you.
Okay, so thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And thank you so much, dear John, for coming on. This has been
a
great show. Thank you so much. Bye, everybody. Bye, John.
Bye-bye. Bye, Grace.
Suicide blonde, with the color of her hair, like a cheap distraction.